Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the Skyhook podcast. Chris and I wanted to go over what happened with the Gabby Williams situation and how everything played out with Chicago Sky over the last few days, but we couldn't link our schedules up to do so together. So we decided to record 10 minutes of our takes on the situation before we talk about it more in depth tomorrow with our latest guest. Chris will go first. I'll chime in after him. And yeah, let's get right to it. Here's what we had to say.
What's going on, folks? It's Chris Pennant, one half of the world famous Skyhook podcast. And what a few days it has been, as we are only at this time of recording 5 days away from the opening of the Chicago Sky season, the opening of this 2021 WNBA campaign for Chicago's finest aeronauts. And there has been a change, a major change to the roster, as you are aware. Gabby Williams traded to the LA Sparks for 2021 draft pick Stephanie Watts and the rights to Leonie Fibich. I'm still processing this one, honestly. I really am. We knew, we being James and myself and all of you, James Kay, my wonderful co-host, we all knew that there was some tension. And I think there had been tension for a while. I'm still trying to find a source on this. But I know that at one point I recall reading that Gabby wasn't necessarily happy with her role as the second unit point guard. I think she found it really difficult and I don't think she felt it was the proper application of her skill set. But it seemed like things were going okay through last season. Obviously, the Sky had some difficulties with injuries. And the year before, they got knocked out of the playoffs in one of the worst ways imaginable. You know, it sucks to have your star point guard make a really bad error, and then a game-winning shot, just, you know, an improbable game-winning shot after what looked like a missed call. But it seemed like things were rounding into shape for the Sky, and especially for Gabby Williams, who was a high draft pick, and has dealt with kind of underwhelming play in terms of expectations. She looked great in France. She looked great playing for Sopran in the EuroLeague campaign, and she looked really good in EuroLeague play. So for a team that ended up being fourth in the EuroBasket tournament, and she was their best player. So I had a lot of hope that this would be a year for her to really shine, especially as the Sky are going into this season with expectations of competing for a championship. But it wasn't to be. It was known that she would be playing for Team France, and that France had talked to James Wade and you let her know, it's like, hey, we want to have Gabby be at training camp at this point in time. And that's the deal. That's the issue with this season, right? The Olympics got postponed because of COVID. So whereas teams were prepared last year, at least preparing last year for the reality of having to lose players for a part of the season for training camp obligations and for the Olympics themselves. Now this year, the Sky have a Stew back and she'll be playing for Team Spain. Stephanie Dolson is going to be playing 3-on-3 for Team USA, so she's got training camp obligations. Diamond's going to be on the team. So there's a lot of players who are missing a big chunk of the season that Chicago's going to have to, you know, deal with that loss. But what's unfolded so far, where the camps weren't talking to each other, they weren't informed. James Wade said he hadn't talked to Gabby Williams, and then now today at the press conference today, he said that she asked for a trade in early April. You know, this story is going to keep developing as things go along. And the Chicago camp has been very cagey about the details they have released. Even the press release informing us of the trade was cagey. The header itself said that the Sky had acquired Watts and Fibich from Los Angeles. It didn't even say that they traded Gabby Williams. They put Gabby's name in the end of the first paragraph or the second paragraph. They didn't mention her name in the header or the first sentence. you know, it just said that they had acquired two players from the LA Sparks. And then, of course, the formulaic, we wish her well in our future endeavors. This sucks, dude. Like, it really sucks. You know, like I said, Gabby had had some trouble. She had tried to round her career into form in terms of being confident with the ball, being confident shooting. And she had done so. Last year, she looked really good at the start of bubble play. And like I said, she looked good in Europe, in EuroLeague this season too. Her three-point percentage was marginally better, but it was better. And of course, there with the connection with Edwige Lawson-Wade, being French, and Gabby being a naturalized French citizen, you figured that that connection was going to make things copacetic as time went on. But it is not the case. Gabby's now in L.A., and the Sky are going to work through. I want to see what they do with Stephanie Watts, because she was a number 10 pick in this year's draft. I think the consensus was that was a bit higher than expected, but she is a young guard, and the Sky now need to fill a spot for a young guard. The one benefit immediately of this is that some contract negotiation headaches are off the table, because Gabby was at the end of her contract, I believe, next year. It could also be 2023, but I believe it was the end of her contract was this year and next year. And it was likely, even just based on her play with the size of the league where it is now, 144 spots, 12 teams, she was going to command some money that the Sky might not be able to afford. Because Diamond's going to have to get paid. Z is going to have to get paid. They keep Candace Parker. She's going to have to get paid. There's a lot of Kalia Copper is going to have to get paid if they want to keep her. So there's a lot of concerns. There's a lot of salary cap concerns in the Sky. We knew that this was going to be murky waters for them navigating that. But this is still kind of sad, you know? Gabby was a real fan favorite. She is a seemed well-liked by her teammates. And she's a good two-way player. She plays strong defense. She can defend 1 through 3 and even some fours. And like I said, she's gained the skills to be able to run the second unit, even if she doesn't necessarily like doing it. So that's the story that's, you know, as we go into the season, rather than Candace Parker getting along well with Diamond DeShields, rather than what will Kalia Copper's ultimate ceiling be this season, rather than how many games the Sky will win, this is the story that's dominating the news cycle in Chicago sports. It really should be that this is the breaking news. I want to say that clearly. For all of its faults, for all of its scandal nature, this is the story that should be dominating the news cycle. A key piece from a playoff contending team has been traded for, at this point, we don't know. So it remains to be seen. I don't think that they're just going to flip Stephanie Watts outright. That would be stupid. You're giving up a high draft pick in Gabby Williams then for essentially nothing this season. And that doesn't make any sense. If you're trying to cut salary and get another player off the bench at a lower cost, yes. I don't necessarily agree with the methods and the way it was done and then all the non-communication, but at least you did that. But flipping Stephanie Watts out of there, cutting her, waving her would be stupid. So I don't expect to see that. Don't entertain that notion. Till then, remains to be seen. This is Chris Pennant, one half of the legendary Skyhook podcast. Catch me and my guy, James Wade, all season long, working here and both for the next Hoops and Winsider, respectively. We'll see you out there on the court coming this Saturday. Yeah!
Hey, everyone. This is James Kay, your other co-host of the Skyhook podcast. I just listened to Chris Pennant give us his opinion on what went down in Skytown this past week. And honestly, he nailed a lot of the points I wanted to make. But I kind of wanted to add another element to this discussion, because I feel like we need to just talk about how people handled this news regarding Gabby Williams, because I kind of feel like James Wade took a lot of unnecessary heat. I think we kind of need to go over the timeline of all this before we dive deep into it. So, yeah, let's just go over the timeline right now. So it's May 10th. It's 6:30 p.m. And James Wade said today that Gabby Williams requested a trade in early April. That seems kind of wide open to me. You know, like April, like early April could be April 1st. It could be April 7th. Let's just say that it's April 1st. And when Gabby Williams requested this trade, that only means that the team would have like 2 weeks to try to find value for someone they have relied on to plug in a lot of the holes that like at the bottom of the ship, if you want to say that. And yeah, Gabby's just been used in a lot of ways. And the team has put her in a role that isn't easy to accept necessarily. Like the part I will defend Gabby on through and through without any type of hesitation is that she's just like, she has done everything she's been asked to do. There's a lot of people that wouldn't have accepted the role in the way that she did. And it would have made this a lot more complicated on the team and to, you know, put her in the best position to succeed. I mean, this dates back to her time, like the second that she was drafted in 2018, she has been moved all over the place. I mean, look at what Ember Stocks asked her to do. She was supposed to be the defensive anchor for the Sky as a small ball four, when she's probably more of a three than anything else. But, you know, and then James Wade comes in and he asked her to be the primary ball handler for the second unit in 2019. Halfway through, or a little bit earlier than that, maybe like a quarter away through the season. And then, you know, also in 2020, she was asked to back up Courtney Vandersloot. And it's something that she's kind of hinted at that wasn't something she was entirely fond of, but she did it anyway. And she accepted the role. I think it's just admirable that she was able to battle through it for a few years. But I think the part that's a little bit lost on people is the Sky's point of view. I mean, they are ready to win right now. Shyla Heal's about to come in and take over all the minutes that Gabby has taken over the last couple seasons. You know, we ran away with the point Gabby narrative for a while. All those minutes are going to be absorbed by Shyla Heal. And then the other part of this is that Kalia Copper is just going to get more minutes. She's also on a contract year, and the Sky are going to want to utilize her talents as much as possible. Then you got to factor in Diamond to Shields coming back. She is the future of this franchise, and she's going to get more minutes. James Wade has said that she is now unrestricted, that she's all the way back. So, I mean, there again, the front court is just so crowded right now, right? I mean, Candace Parker and Astu were added to this team, and now Ezra Stevens and Stephanie Dulson are both back from injuries. So even before the trade request was made, there wasn't really a ton of room for Gabby on this roster, at least to make her happy, because they have all that talent, and I didn't even mention Natasha Mack or Ruthie Hebert, and again, crowding that front court. James Wade said today that he didn't want to trade Gabby Williams. I bring this up is because I know that James Wade has a little bit of a history of leading the media one way and then kind of going in another direction, but I actually believe him when he says this. And actually, Andy Constable reported that he wasn't told of this until, again, like until April. Like we kind of already went over that. But I mean, think about the logic of this. It makes no sense to wait until 2 weeks before the draft to get the best value for her. He had all offseason to do this. If this was something that he really wanted to do, like why wait 2 weeks before the draft? And it honestly could have been less time than that, like to find her a new home and get the best, the most value out of an asset, you know, like that part doesn't make sense to me. Why he would wait so long. So again, if you look at it from that point of view, it makes sense they would suspend her contract with so much up in the air. And it sucks, by the way. I don't want to downplay that because it sucks the way that this is all played out with how much Gabby has sacrificed for this team. But this request came so late in the game, and you can't let Gabby Williams walk for nothing. If she really wanted out and played all the chips that would help her get her to a situation where she actually wants to be, then why can't the team do the same thing? That's the part that I find a little bit perplexing when we talk about what people were saying on social media and drawing conclusions about this situation before all the information was out there. I mean, I sat this one out because I felt that there was more to this story than what was initially reported. And a lot of the information, I don't even want to call it information. We were reacting, and I'm not even going to say we, like Sky Twitter was reacting to tweets that were ambiguous. And there are times I wish people would just take a deep breath before reacting to these situations. Because what was just put out on social media might not have been 100% correct. And we kind of saw that today with what James Wei said in his press conference. But the one thing I won't defend him on is saying that he wanted to focus on practice during the press conference this past Friday and that he wasn't going to go into the situation about Gabby. I feel for the fans. I especially feel for the media in that sense that he just should have addressed the situation because it became a bigger story than it should have been. And I think we found out now, again, after some of the reporting that Annie Constable did today, that it wasn't as big of a story as a lot of people made it out to be. So I kind of think we have to look at what Wade said about that a couple days after about this situation, because it is pretty simple if you just break it down. I'm just going to paraphrase a transcript from the press conference when he did discuss this after kind of sitting out on that initially. So he pretty much said he supported Gabby in her pursuit of joining the French team, but that the team had a goal in mind and that they needed a group of 11 people. He said, like, we have players like Stephanie Dolson and Stu Du that are going to lead for their national team commitments, but that they made it a point to be there, that he was told late in the game about her not wanting to come to training camp, and that was just not something that she was interested in doing. And by the way, that part of it was reported today by Andy Constable. But that he had a job to do. You know, this team is in win-now mode, and that he had to do what was best for the Chicago Sky. I just don't understand how that is controversial. I mean, think about it. James Wade, Chicago's head coach and general manager, needs to take care of his team, even if there's backlash with fan favorites involved. Is a part of the job description that sucks, and it's just kind of necessary, though. You know, like, it doesn't mean that he doesn't care about Gabby Williams as a human being. It doesn't want what's best for her moving forward. But this is the toughest part of running a professional sports team, right? That you have people that you care about, but you have to make moves that might be unpopular. And given what Gabby has done for this team, it came out in a nasty way in social media, especially. And look, I love Gabby Williams, and I don't think she's actually been given the chance to blossom in the ways a lot of us thought that she would come out, like when she was coming out of UConn in 2018. I mean, there's a reason that she was a top four pick in the WNBA draft in 2018, right? I hope she just becomes the player that tears it up for Derek Fisher. Like, I know that she has all the talent to do it, but I really wish people would separate their fandom with the reality of the situation and waited before piling on James Wade, who is just trying to do his job. Again, I'm not going to defend the Friday news conference because it was frustrating, and it is also a part of the job to discuss this and these uncomfortable situations with the media. And honestly, people drove this story in the direction in a way that I wish it hadn't gone, because now we know that this wasn't as big of a situation. At least that's what's been told right now. We need to hear Gabby Williams' perspective on this as well, outside of than just, again, these tweets that don't really amount to anything. Statements matter more than tweets. Let's be honest. But I also kind of feel that this isn't a new situation, that we've seen this in professional sports over and over again. You know, I feel bad for Gabby in the sense that we won't see her in 2021 and that she's going to lose out on $70,000. You know, I think anytime we look at a WNBA player situation, that's a lot of money, given that even though that we're seeing that the contracts are going up and that the salary bases are going up, I should say, that's still $70,000. And more than anything else, I just hope that getting this done before the start of the season was in the best interest for both sides, and that we can just move forward and focus on what's ahead of us, both for Gabby and what she's going to be doing in France and what the Sky have in front of them. And that's competing for a 2021 WNBA championship. So again, we're going to talk about this again tomorrow with a special guest who we'll let you know about later on, but we thank you for listening to this episode. Please subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review. You can follow us on Twitter at SkyHookin, which is SkyHookin. And you can shoot us an email at theskyhookmailbag@gmail.com. You can find that email address on our Twitter page as well, which again is @SkyHookin. Thank you for listening to this abbreviated episode, and until next time. Thank you.